Sierra Leone has a major challenge. Literally, just 36% of its population has access to electricity. Essentially, it represents one of the lowest electrification rates ac across the globe, not even just on the continent. The majority of those who have access to electricity concentrated within Freetown, which is the capital, thereby having a massive impact as it pertains to development or growth within the rural communities and other states across the country. As I'd mentioned, this is having an impact on education and being able to provide conducive learning environments for students and teachers, as well as healthcare facilities where lives are being lost frequently as a result of not having access to any power supply, if not reliable power supply. Now, with this context being provided, you could understand why there was a need for an intervention such as the SOGWEA. The Sierra Leone government has shown political will and commitment and determination towards addressing this energy access gap within its country, and has been able to secure the support, financial support from the EU delegation to Sierra Leone, as well as the Denmark government, who have provided funding to implement the SOGWEA program, which is known as the Salone Off-Grid Renewable Energy Accelerator program. Now, the Universal Energy Facility, which is a program under Sustainable Energy for All and UNOPS, are collectively responsible for implementing this program. Now, what is the solution seeking to provide? Well, the aim is to bridge, to some extent, the energy access gap through the provision of at least at the minimum 324 mini grids, which will provide roughly over 25,000 connections by 2028. So we don't have much time to go. So we have spent roughly about $16.5 million on the development of mini grids, which has achieved over 10,500 or just under 11,000 connections. We have also dispersed about $10 million for the deployment of standalone solar for productive use, which has deployed about 3,323 systems that has connected MSMEs and other types of institutions involved in some type of productive activity. In total, when we look at the mini grid connections as well as the SSPU connections, roughly 65,000 or over 65,000 people have been impacted, which includes about 3,921 businesses, 26 healthcare facilities, as well as 35 educational facilities. Now, being that we are very keen on ensuring that we're able to show the impact on the climate, we also have recorded 5,000 tons of CO2 emissions being annually avoided as a result of these solutions, mini grids, standalone solar for productive use solutions being deployed across the countries in which we operate. With the Universal Energy Facility operating a results-based finance approach, it also means that it promotes blended finance, which allows for catalytic funding. With these funds that we have dispersed to the mini grid developers, standalone system for productive use companies, we've also been able to catalyze an additional $20 million from the private sector, which has been blended with the grant funding that I have just mentioned in achieving these connections and the impact mentioned. And just also to mention, when we think about the MSMEs that have been impacted by these energy access solutions, we did conduct a survey where we found that most of these companies are able to operate for longer hours. They're able to employ a lot more staff, They're generating a lot more revenue and they have happier customers, more customers, due to the fact that they now have this reliable and affordable power supply through the UEF solutions. Yes, our 2025 Chilling Prospects report did find that over 1 billion people are at high risk of lack of access to crucial cooling solutions. And out of that 1 billion people, 412 million of this across 32 countries that we have analyzed. This includes the rural poor who lack electricity and live in extreme poverty, and the urban poor who have limited or no access to electricity and whose quality of housing is likely too poor to protect them from extreme heat. So our sustainable cooling program is supporting Africa to expand access to sustainable cooling across agriculture, healthcare, cities, and buildings. We shine a light on the issue of fair and sustainable cooling, like with the Chilling Prospects series, and advocating for governments to sign the Global Cooling Pledge in collaboration with our partners at the UNEP-led Cool Coalition. We also support countries directly by building local capacity, and helping local governments plan and put policies in place. For example, we're assisting 11 Kenyan counties with their heat action plans to help with short and long-term responses to extreme heat. Generating data as well, and analytics to figure out where investment is needed most. For instance, in Madagascar and Mozambique, we use an in-house geospatial tool to pinpoint where agricultural activities need post-harvest cooling and market access. We're also working on getting more money mobilized by developing innovative financing solutions to expand the nature for cooling in cities, passive cooling in buildings, and sustainable cool tech programs. This includes setting up a cool finance fund to provide results-based funding in sub-Saharan Africa under the Universal Energy Facility. We have quite a few, but I think the main program or initiative, which is not just our organization that's focused on, but many others, is Mission 300. That's one of the largest, if not the largest, electrification program or initiative focused on bridging the energy access gap in Africa. As you know, there are 600 million people who do not have access to electricity, and SDG 7 requires that we bridge this energy access gap by 2030. And so Mission 300 seeks to at least close the gap by 50%. So 300 million people having access by 2030. It's the first time where IFIs, development partners, are all coming together, you know, and trying to address the various bottlenecks that is preventing governments and private sector from being able to, you know, really bridge this gap and achieve the scale required, you know, to get as many people electrified as possible. Now we're working very closely with the main implementers or the owners of the program, I would call it. That's the World Bank and the African Development Bank, as well as technical partners, including and funders, including the Rockefeller Foundation, Global Energy Alliance for People and Planet. So supporting through technical assistance support, providing capacity building support for governments, supporting them with their results-based finance programs because of the technical expertise that we have and experience we have in implementing such programs. We're supporting with, you know, the development and the strengthening of regulatory frameworks, you know, and also the provision of data as well. So all those various aspects that sort of what's the word I'm looking for? That delay, you know, that delay, the scaling of such solutions within African countries, those are, you know, the challenges that we are working towards addressing in collaboration with all of the institutions that I mentioned, as well as the governments of the countries that are benefiting from this program. So I would say Mission 300 is the largest of them all and probably our priority for now. But that doesn't mean that we're leaving out the remaining 300 million that still need to be connected, for which programs like SOGREA, our Zambia program, etc., will also be looking towards addressing.